There's nothing better than to come together on a Sunday evening to close out the day with brothers and sisters in Christ, to come together on Sunday evening to get our mind set for the week, to think about all that God has done for us, everything that He will do. People have different ideas about God. Some think of God as like a nice old grandfather that just sits up there in heaven. Some think of God as someone that created the world, and it's like He took an alarm clock and wound it up, and then He just set it down to let things go on, whatever might happen. People have all kinds of ideas about God. I want to ask the question, is God doing anything in your life? You might ask, well, what can God do? Well, that's what we're going to look at in the lesson this evening. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. God is working in us to bring about the purposes that He has. This is a great thought, that the invisible Almighty God working in us, His believing people, and through us, accomplishing the good purposes of His will. God is not here physically to do things. He has us here as His instruments to take His word and to share it with others. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 1, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ Jesus, when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And in Colossians chapter 1, Paul said, to this end, I also labor, striving according to His working, which works in me mightily. So you think about God. It spoke everything into existence. He created everything. He sustains everything. He sets the course of the planets, of the moon, the sun, the stars, the weather, the clouds. The rivers go out to the seas, but the seas are never full. He has everything in perfect balance. And God is working not just in nature, but He's working in us. Paul told the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Well, this raises the question, what is God able to do? And I want us to stop and think about, what is God able to do for us? There's a lot of things that He can do for us. One of them is that He is able to save us. Hebrews 7:25, therefore, He is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through Him, since He always lives to make intercession for them. And friends, it's a good thing that He is able to save us, because we have all been lost. We all need to be saved, and we can only be saved through God. God is able to deliver us. Back in the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 3. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us from your hand, O King. Daniel, we have the record of Daniel and so many things that transpired when he was in captivity, how he stood for God. Daniel was a man of purpose. He was a pure man. He's one of the few people in the Bible that you do not read of any sin recorded to his name. He had an unwavering faith in God. He would not bow down to the king and worship the king. He would only worship God. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us from your hand. We see that played out physically in the life of Daniel, with the fiery furnace, with Daniel in the lion's den. And someone has pointed out today, God is not going to work a miracle like that. He may not remove that fiery furnace from our life. He may not keep us out of the lion's den, but he is going to be there with us. He is going to go through whatever we are going through on this earth, because as long as we follow him, he is not going to forsake us. God delivers us. He delivers by shutting the mouths of our enemies and quenching the violence of our fiery passions. We think about Daniel. Do we believe that today, the story of Daniel, or do we just think that that's a nice story to tell children? Friends, God is still working. He is able to deliver us today. In the great faith chapter of Hebrews chapter 11, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. God is able to deliver us. Whatever is facing us, it may be some physical foe, it may be something in our minds that has us a prisoner in our mind, God is able to deliver us. What is God able to do for us? He's able to make us stand. Philippians 3:21, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. This is a great comfort that we have. Some people will not endure sound doctrine, but we will be able to stand just like Elijah when he spoke to Ahab and said, "As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word." God will make us to be able to stand. If God is for us, who can be against us? When we think of what else can we put our faith in today? What else? Nothing. You think about all the things that people put their faith in. They might put their faith in money. Our financial system could collapse. People might put their faith in their 401k or their pension plan or their bank account. Something can happen to the banks. People might put their faith in the government. The government can collapse. We see that over and over from the beginning of time. We should not be so arrogant to think that we are different. When you read about the kings in the Old Testament, the kings of the heathen empires, they thought that nobody will be able to take us. Nobody. And then God came in and brought them down because of their unrighteousness. But friends, when everything collapses round about us, we are able to stand. And when we have our faith in God, we can be a great comfort to our family, to our friends. You see people going through situations, trials today, and their life is in such a wreck, a disarray, because they have no foundation. They have no foundation to stand on when everything falls down round about them. God is able to make us stand. God is able to keep us. Jude 24. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Can I do any of these things on my own? No. I will try, but I will fall, I will fail, I will stumble. But God is able to keep us from stumbling. We are kept in the Father's hand, where no thief can steal us, kept by the power of God through faith. When we are saved, when we are saved by the power of God, Nobody can take that salvation away from us. Now, we can give it away. We can live where we give it away, but nobody can take it from us. Satan cannot take it from us. We are protected by God. Peter said in 1 Peter 1, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. That's a great comfort. That's a great blessing. Thieves may be able to break into our house and steal what we have. I've used the illustration before when I worked in Cincinnati, and sometimes I would spend the night down there, and someone broke into my car, and they stole after he died, we divided up his things, and one of the things that I got was his leather shaving bag. His leather shaving bag. I could smell that bag, and it just made me think of my dad. And I had house keys in there. I had a handheld CB radio. I had a bunch of things that were precious to me. And what happened? A thief broke in and stole that. He took it away from me. Friends, nobody can take our salvation away from us. Satan cannot take our salvation away from us. So if he can't do that, let's not hand it over to him, because we are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. What is God doing in your life? What's he doing for you? Well, God is able to satisfy us. 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work. Now, do I have everything that I want or think or imagine? No. I've got everything that I need. And you see the lessons that God was teaching the Israelites back in the wilderness, where he gave them just enough food for the day. He said, you go out and gather just enough for the day. If they gathered more than what they needed for a day, what happened? It would rot. It would mold. He was teaching them to put their trust in him to provide for them day by day. We don't need to think of God taking care of us 5, 10, 20 years down the road. We need to think of him taking care of us today. When he takes care of us today and we get up tomorrow, he'll take care of us tomorrow, one day at a time. That's why he said his word is like a lamp unto our feet. It's not like some beacon that shines a mile away. It's a lamp unto our feet. We take a step at a time. If we start thinking about the rest of the week, the rest of the month, the rest of the year, the next 30 years, life just becomes overwhelming. And some people, that's how they think. And some people think that way and they have a mental breakdown. God doesn't want us to think that way. One day at a time, one step at a time, God is able to satisfy us. And what a treasure this is. All grace abounding toward us, that we always have all sufficiency in all things. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we ask or think. Well, what is God able to do? He's able to raise us. Hebrews 11:9, concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. So we have hope beyond this life because God raised Christ from the dead. We know that God can raise us from the dead. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. He can raise us. It wasn't just Christ. This world, this life isn't the end of the thing, of everything. He's able to keep that which we've committed unto him, the spirit, the soul, the body, joyful anticipation. this mortal body shall put on immortality. And just think, this body that grows old, where we have aches and pains that we couldn't have imagined when we were young or a teenager, this body is going to be changed. He is able to raise us up. What is God able to do? He's able to present us faultless. Jude 24, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. We have a lot of faults, we have a lot of sins, but with God, he is going to be able to keep us from stumbling, to present you faultless, without fault, before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. He's the only way that we can do that. We can't do that ourselves. It comes from God. That's a few things that God is able to do for us. Well, what is God able to do in us? There are things that he's able to do in us. In Ephesians chapter 3, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we think or ask, according to the power that works in us. Just think about this blessing that we have. Christ can dwell in our hearts through faith. We can be rooted and grounded in love, that we may be able to comprehend his love. What is his love? The width and length and depth and height. His love reaches all the way from before the beginning of time, all the way to today, all the way to eternity, and as long as eternity will last, which it will never end. That's the width of it. You think about the height and the depth of his love. God being in heaven, he reached down to lift us up out of sin, to make a stand that we might be pleasing in his sight. No one else is able to do that. No one else has that power. But God is able to do that in us. What is God able to do in us? He's able to subdue. Philippians 3:21. Who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Again, thinking of this body that's going to be transformed, and you think, just you see the baby that is here from when it was born to how much it has changed. And our bodies keep changing while we are here. Transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to this glorious body. We see athletes grow up and become strong, mighty men. We see them later in life, and they may have to be helped around, rolled around in a wheelchair. Someone may have to carry them from one place to another, because this physical body is temporary. It was not meant to last forever. It was temporary, that we might be here to get a glimpse of who God is and what he has done for us and what he has waiting for us. What is God able to do in us? He's able to aid us. Hebrews 2:18. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. We are all tempted. That's one thing that is common to man. All of us have been tempted. But think about this. Christ, he himself suffered being tempted. He knows what it is like with the temptations that we face. And because he knows, he is able to aid those who are tempted. When we are tempted and give in, he doesn't say, "Oh, why did you do that? You know better than that." He understands, and he is able to aid us because he has gone through the same things, not as the Son of God, but as the Son of Man, Christ in the flesh. And when we study the Gospel of Luke, Luke used that phrase, the Son of Man, about 24 times in his gospel, showing the humanity of Christ. He suffered in the flesh. Temptations are common. If we are in fellowship with Christ, his sympathy in the hour of temptations will help us. He knows what temptations are. What is God able to do in us? He's able to strengthen us. 2 Timothy 4:17. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that the message might be preached fully through me and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. So here, Paul is writing to the young preacher Timothy, sharing some of the things about his life. And you think about Paul, how when he was converted, the Jews hated him. The Jews wanted to kill him. They stoned him one time and left him for dead. They did everything to silence him. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that the message might be preached fully through me and that all the Gentiles might hear. He was chosen out of time. He had a purpose to go to the Gentiles. And just like talking about Jeremiah, when God told Jeremiah, "I've got a plan and a purpose for you, and people are going to do everything they can to you, but one thing they aren't going to do, I'm not going to let them kill you. You're going to suffer because of the word that you speak, but I'm not going to let them kill you." And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, possibly a reference with the Romans and how they would use Christians as sport. We don't know for sure, but there was some thing that he was spared from, and God strengthened him. And just like back to Jesus, when he was tempted in the garden, or when he was going through, he was tempted in the wilderness, but when he was in the garden and he was going through the trials and the distress, and he said, "Let this cup pass from me." He wasn't talking about going to the cross, because that's the reason he came. "Let this cup pass from me." He was talking about the present distress, the present suffering that he was going to. And he said, "Father, please, please let this cup pass from me." Did the Father take away that suffering? No. But the Gospels record that an angel was sent to strengthen him. So again, God is not going to remove certain things from our life. And I don't believe that he's going to send a physical angel down. But it might be a brother or sister in Christ. A brother and sister in Christ is going to pick us up, is going to stand beside us, is going to pray for us, is going to hold us. It's going to say, "You can do it. I've been where you were. You can do it. What is waiting ahead of us is worth the fight. Don't give up where you are." God is able to strengthen us. God is able to build us up. Paul said in Acts 20, "So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." So if we want to be built up, it's not going to be miraculous. "I commend you to God and to the word, which is able to build you up." We've got to spend time in his word, and it's going to build us up. What is God able to do in us? He's able to fill us. Colossians 1:9. "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Have you ever had a busy day and you get tired and you think, I should have eaten more this morning, or I should have had more snacks or something to have energy to keep going? We don't want to run on empty. We can't sustain that. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Again, we pray for each other to fill each other up. Why? Because we have work to do. One of the things we have to do tomorrow morning is we're going to have to fight Satan. We're going to have to fight Satan because he's going to come after us. Now, if we aren't filled with God's word, what's going to happen? He's probably going to get us. We've got to fill ourselves up. We've got to help fill each other up. What's God able to do in us? He's able to work. Hebrews 13:21. Make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. This is a sweet thought that he's going to make us complete in every good work, working in us what is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ. And again, what are those well-pleasing things? It's the things we can read about in God's word. It's not some invention that man came up with. Again, that is without authority. That is, it doesn't come by faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. It's those works that God has revealed for us to do. When we do them, it brings honor and glory to him and helps those round about us. So we've looked at what God is able to do for us, what he's able to do in us. What is he able to do through us? What is God able to do through us? Well, he's able to reveal through us. Galatians 1:6, to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood. How are going to people know who Christ is? How are they going to know who Jesus is? How are they going to know who God is? How are they going to know what the church is? We are the ones that are going to reveal it. God is able to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles. We are the world's Bible. What is God able to do through us? He's able to reconcile. 2 Corinthians 5:18. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, as was committed to us in the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So there's this term reconciliation. It's used a couple of different ways. One of it is, it's an accounting term where you have numbers, you reconcile a checkbook, you reconcile an accounting ledger so that the numbers match up. This imputing, again, it can be an accounting term. That's one way to think of reconciliation, and that would be appropriate with this text. Another way with reconciling is in family matters. Family members may become estranged. Maybe a husband and wife, maybe a parent and a child, and they become estranged. They don't speak to each other. They are at odds. And then they reconcile. They come back together. That's what God is able to do through us. He is able to reconcile. He's able to reconcile others to God, again, because of us and what we can reveal to others through His Word. What is God able to do through us? He's able to overcome. Ephesians 6:11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Put on the whole armor of God. Ephesians 6 gives us a list of those pieces of armor that we put on. And you think about, if we were in a battle, why would we go out against the enemy without any armor or without any weapons? We would say that's foolish. But then what do we do when we go out and face Satan? We go out without any armor or any weapons. And God has provided that force, that armor, those weapons, those things that we need to stand against what the devil is going to throw at us. But again, God's not going to do it for us. He's able to do it through us, but we have to do our part. On so many things we've talked about, there's God's part and there's man's part. God is not going to do His part until man does his part. We respond to God. We recognize who God is. We respond when we fall short in what we are able to do. That's where God steps in and helps us. But He wants us to put forth the effort first. What is God able to do through us? He's able to bear fruit. Colossians 1:10. That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. What is God able to do? He's able to do His own pleasure. Back to where we started, Philippians 2:13. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. We don't serve a dead God. We don't serve a weak God. We serve a God that is able. He's able to save us, deliver us, make us stand, keep us, able to satisfy us, raise us, present us faultless. He's able to dwell in us, able to subdue, able to aid us, able to strengthen, able to build us up, able to fill us, able to work. He's able to reveal, able to reconcile, able to overcome, makes us able to bear fruit. And why? Because this is His good pleasure. Aren't you glad we serve a loving God? A loving God that cares about us and wants what is best. He is able. Again, God does His part and we have our part to do so that we can be obedient to Him. Friends, if there's anyone here this evening that needs prayers, needs to make confession, needs to respond to the gospel in any way, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.